and some of you do not. So here's what's going on. We took all our midweek meetings and we have different missional communities, we call them, and they meet in homes, and they meet either once a week or several times a week, and they have different purposes and things they do together. You know, when a new person comes to our church and they say, hey, do you have Bible studies? I say, well, yes, but they do more than just study the Bible. And we explain to them what our missional communities are. We did missional communities, and we stopped them, and we're going to start again. And that means if you're not on a missional community, or you're just walking in thinking about being on a missional community, then this is a great week. Because what's going to happen is we're going to have different leaders come up and say, hey, here's what the vision for this group of people is going to be like. And this is what we're looking for. And each person will give a vision, and then in the next couple months, we'll pray and decide and go to info meetings. And in August, we'll start new missional communities. And one of the things we, in starting our missional communities here the second time, we wanted to ask every group is, what's your mission? What's your purpose? And to put that right out in front. So you know if you're joining this group of people that they're going to be about this mission. Now, they may do many other things. Study the Word, do discipleship, live life together. But wanted to make sure their mission was right out in front. So some of you have kind of followed along with our church, and we have had leaders praying and talking and figuring out. And they just want, so now they're going to present what they're thinking about. And from here, we all get to pray and self-select where we want to go if we want to be on a missional community. One last note before we pray and let them come. You may sit here and be like, I've been on missional communities before. I want to be on a missional community now. And people might come up here and say, here are our visions. And you might look at all of them and go, that doesn't fit me. None of these fit me. Or you might go, they all have such high bars and big dreams. I don't know if my life circumstances either because of busyness or because of where God has me, whether I should be on any of these teams. That's part of the reason we have a couple months here. If that is you, we want to hear. And if there's several people in that boat, we might create either more missional communities or other structures to help support the needs and the people that we have. So this is a good starting point of where our leaders hope to go, and then we'll see where we might self-select and end up in August. And so so what we'd like to do now is how this is going to work is each group of leaders has made a slide that kind of presents what the vision of their team. They're going to walk us through that slide and their vision, and we'll go through each of them. But I'd just like to pray for all of us before we start. Well, Father, you have made this world with lots of decisions in it, and here we are with decisions of what to do with our time and who to walk with in life and who to circle up with and what things that you care about should we run after. And Lord, I pray that you would just be in this room and help highlight things for people, help highlight where people should go, help highlight what people would be good to be involved with and to follow.
Lord, we ask God for, in one sense, success. Lord, you tell us to commit our plans to you. And so, Lord, we as leaders, we commit our plans to you, Lord, but you determine our steps, lead us on, change whatever you want to change here, inspire whatever you want to inspire here. Lord, we just ask you to be with us as we walk through this together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we'll do this. Whatever slide is yours, when you see it, you're up next. Barry, come on up here.
Thank you. Good morning. We're giving our group the name Equipping the Saints. We borrow the vision from Ephesians 4, 12, and 13, which is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So by God's grace in this group, we want to humbly come before him to cooperate with his plan and his work in the life of each person. We're targeting four areas, but we're open to however God wants to work. The first item, God's word is all about drawing closer to him and planting deeper roots in Christ. We'll interact around how the word applies to each of us and how we should let it impact practical life issues. We will be a lot more practical than theoretical. Second one, we'll also be using the word as our instruction manual to teach us how to pray in more complete ways. We want to open up our prayer life and learn that it's okay to pour out our hearts to God conversationally. The goal here is to build vitality, variety, and to practice different prayer techniques to help keep it alive. We will treat prayer as mission critical and by his grace enable each person to grow deeper in prayer. The third item. We'll also discuss and emphasize the importance of being watchmen and protectors of our society, families, and succeeding generations. Our foundation and reference point will be biblical principles and a Christ-centered worldview. By God's strength, we will stay alert, understanding how the adversary is relentless and is always trying to influence our culture away from God and toward confusion and evil. Each person will be encouraged to be a watchman as God reveals his or her role and how they can be a part in intervening for family or their community. We will also interact on how to honor God as divine opportunities or appointments come up. Item four, we will stay attentive to the needs in or outside the body of Christ. We've seen a fairly wide variety of individual needs come up, and we want to be observant and available to serve those needs and help lighten loads as we are able. So that's our vision. Owen and myself will be co-leading. The group is for all ages, and we plan to have occasional potlucks, desserts, or otherwise breaking bread together. Keep it a family. And we do have occasional outings together.
Any questions?
Anything you would like to say?
Three is our main thing. That's what we're, not one. Three is the main one.
And that's why you see Bible study and prayer, outward focus too. And just want to reiterate, yeah, we've seen a lot of divine appointments. A lot of people have come to visit us. And so we know that we trust the Lord that that's going to continue to happen. And we hope for many people to come to know the Lord, many baptisms. That would certainly be very encouraging to all of us. Amen. Any questions?
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Dude, they let me up here way too much. So, worship MC. Yeah, so just started as an idea. And what we realized was worship is amazing. Worship is one of the coolest things we get to do around here. And for a while, it's been myself kind of picking some songs that go with last week's message. And we have some other people that we've introduced. You know, you guys have seen Kevin up here more. You guys know Mike Beeler, he plays too, and Jason. And occasionally we have a band. But what we kind of realized was, I think there's more opportunity and there's more that God can do with this than we're actually giving it time for. So I want to say it was my idea. My wife actually approached me with the idea originally. Yeah. And brought it to me, and then I took it and ran with it. And I think she also brought it to you as well. Yep, the Spirit. And so what we came up with was, if you want to read it.
Yeah, so I'll quickly read through what we wrote down. Vision being Christ-centered worship, bring Christ-centered worship to Desert Zen more thoughtfully, consistently, and professionally. I think that kind of embodies a lot of what Mike just said. Is there's been maybe an infrequency or a need, even in, with like either worship team or the surrounding things that are around that, and we want to really bring that passion and that growth for our church. And I think it'll be interesting to see how that happens. In terms of people, obviously there's going to be an emphasis on playing music, and a lot of the band will, not all of the band will be in it, but that doesn't mean that we're closed off to people who are non-musical. There are a lot of needs in either technically to support the music, but also worship is not just music. It's a passion and a lifestyle, and it's a heart of that every Christian has, and that's what we're looking for, is people who are passionate about raising the worship at our church. And it doesn't have to be through music. So that's basically what we're going for. In terms of weekly rhythms, obviously there'll be lots of band practices. and so for people, if there are people who want to join and we have them join who aren't musical, that'll also change a bit the rhythms that we have as a group. We'll have meetings to discuss, you know, more administratively worship, like within our church, alongside, you know, having lots of band practices. There'll be a lot of, if you are musical, it will be definitely a lot of individual, learning, playing, practicing time that'll come with this. And lastly, for these categories, we just went two across the whole board, one being very little, or the least amount of, three being the highest amount of. And in terms of Bible study, prayer, and outward focus, it will be definitely less frequent, but when we do hit them, it'll be very important. So we'll have studies or sermons on worship, or maybe worship nights and can bring people, things like that. But they'll be a lot less frequent, but again, they'll be hard-hitting, which is why we're kind of lean towards two across the board for that. So I think that's it. I think that's all we have to say. Do you have anything else to say?
No.
Good. Cool. Hopefully that was clear enough. Good morning, everyone. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. We're really excited to be starting what we're calling the Service MC, pending a much more fun name that we might come up with as a team. But I'm going to go over our vision statement here. So the Bible references both speaking and service gifts, encouraging believers to meet each other's needs according to the strength given them. Our team will seek to meet the tangible service needs of our church and the community as they arise. So John's going to run through kind of what a month might look like.
Oh, yes. So, we're thinking of meeting Tuesday evenings three times a month. The first two evenings, we're going to have a Bible study and prayer over needs. We kind of call it a... what did you call it? In, out, which way, direction? Yeah, so our little thing is called in, out, up, off. So in, we're going to be having Bible studies to focus on God, how he's directing and guiding us. The up is just calling on God, saying, help us decide which areas we want to serve, which thing comes up, how we're going to do that. The out then would be our doing outward. We would be meeting, like it says there, service ministry. We decide who we're going to serve and what needs are prioritized, and then we'll come up with a date and a plan to get together as a team and go help whoever needs help and services. It's not limited to this type of help or that type of help. We're going to be praying and working over and going through that and then deciding as a team which thing we go to. And let's see, what else we got here? What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. Yeah, so the outward, it doesn't have to happen on a Tuesday. If the week we decide to help somebody, it could be on a Saturday, a Friday night, it could be Sunday, it could be some afternoon. So it's not necessarily we're going to be meeting that need exactly on the day we usually have our Bible studies. And then let's see what else we got here. We called it, the last one was off. We're going to take a week to not meet in case somebody wants to go to another group or has something going on. It just gives us time to do whatever we need to do outside of our meeting times. And I'm going to let Ethan summarize things.
Sure, yeah. So just to recap, we really feel like there needs to be a balance between time in the Word, time in prayer, and time actually meeting needs, even though that kind of doing service time is the heart of the MC. And so, those times that we want to meet in a home will largely look like talking about the needs that have come up. We don't really see there being a shortage of needs, but rather the need to pray over what needs the Lord's actually calling us to meet. Hopefully one evening a month will be either as a team or splitting up kind of out in our church and the community meeting needs. But like John said, we also know that needs don't always arise at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday. And so we're hoping that we have a team that is flexible enough to either rally the church around meeting those needs or go meet those needs themselves. And then that's part of the heart behind having an evening off that week is if I decide to use my Saturday morning to go help someone, I then have an extra evening that month to catch up on the things that I would have otherwise been doing. I'd really like to revisit 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, which says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so that's really the heart of our team is we're really excited about building a team that's really passionate and prepared to meet needs as they arise. And driven by a desire to honor the Lord and worship him through that service. And I'm sure you probably have questions that come up if you're interested in this kind of thing about what kinds of needs do we meet? Do I have to know how to use a power saw? Things like that. So just encourage you to come to the interest meetings or feel free to reach out to John and I in the meantime.
Yeah, just something he mentioned that I remember is that when we meet a need, it may not take all the whole team. It may take one or two of us, or it may take three of us, or it may take a single person in whatever need we decide comes up.
What he said.
As you can see, the strength is, and the main thing is the outreach. We're going to be outreaching, serving. We're going to have the Bible study as part of our guiding and direction, and then we'll be interacting closely with one another, discipling one another, or even, you know, like he said, training or helping in whatever needs or service comes up.
What's up? We're the Senders Missions Community MC. This is something we've already been doing for probably like 3 years now, and we're planning on continuing it. So kind of wanted to create the basis for this with verses, but I added more verses to this verse that I put up there. So when I think of what MCs do, or what the church does as a whole, I think of the commissioning Jesus gave to his disciples as he sent them off, the Great Commission. I'm going to read it for a little bit. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded to you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." So part of our calling as a church is to make disciples of all nations, to teach them what Jesus has commanded them. And RMC takes a very specific part of that, and this is where the Romans 10 verse comes into play. So this is Paul talking. Verse 9 of chapter 10, I'm choosing more verses. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on his name of the Lord will be saved. This is verse 14, which I have up there. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe if they have never heard? How are they to hear when without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And for us, we really take hold of that last verse. How are they supposed to hear if they are not sent? How are they supposed to believe if there's not someone preaching? And how are they supposed to preach if they're not sent? Like, we are going to fulfill this calling that Jesus has called the church to make disciples of all nations, to teach, by sending those who do preach, who can give the word, and to let those who have not heard hear the saving news of Christ's sacrifice and death. So that's our mission as a church, as our MC, is to really focus on sending those who are called to preach the word, to preach the word to those who have not heard. And so part of that is supporting those we've already sent and encouraging the church to have a heart for these people. And I don't know, did I miss anything? Yeah.
All right, so that's the mission part of our group, and then community part. So we've spent a lot of time in the last 3 years just doing things. We haven't spent very much time on the word or prayer or community. We've just been really focused in trying to get stuff going. So now we're going to really try to balance that out with reading the word, sharing the word, prayer, community time, We want to do, you know, camping together and hanging out and gender times and all the stuff that really helps balance life out and not just go and do stuff all the time. We would just have meetings where we'd sit down, talk through all the things we need to do, and then we'd leave. And now we're trying to balance that out a lot more. We enjoy having coffee and food and camping and all that good stuff. So we do that. We usually do a meal every other week together. And our meeting is flexible. We've always been really flexible with when we meet. So if whoever joins us, we can figure out when we're going to meet, depending on what people's needs are. There are. Anything else? No? Oh, yeah. The little table thing. You know, doing stuff is still going to be really high, but we're also going to try to work on discipleship and Bible study. All right.
Howdy. First thing I want you to notice is that Keegan is also part of our leadership team. He is not here. He is in the Middle East. But I know we have quite the cadre of Keegan fans, of Keeg heads, as they refer to themselves. So that'll be fun. Second thing I want you to notice is that Alan is now an MC leader, so that is fun as well. So if you live here, you might know that we are about 3 miles from the largest public university in the United States. And on that university, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of international students from all over the world, from India, from China, from Korea, from Japan, from Egypt, from Kuwait, from Pakistan, from Libya, from Sudan, all over the place. And we're lucky enough to live right next to them. Now, if you've taken perspectives, you might remember the fact that nearly 70% of these international students never step foot in an American household the entire time they're in school in the United States. But luckily, in this church, we have quite the opportunity, because what do we have? Houses. And what can we do with those houses? Invite people over to them. And so that is kind of what we're doing with this MC. So I'd like you to realize that this is an MC, but it is also obviously student ministry, as you can see in the title. And so we're going to be doing a combination of those things. We're going to be a small group, obviously, and so we're going to be doing a lot of those normal rhythms that an MC does. We're going to be having meetings internally where we just pray and study the word and worship together and share a meal together. But we'll be doing other sort of meetings as well. Up here, I call them finders meetings or events, and then seekers meetings. Now, what finders meetings are is we need to find those international students that want to get to know Americans or want to be accustomed to American culture or that want to integrate or find some sort of place where they can meet Americans. And in doing so, we're going to be holding events that we ourselves organize. If you're familiar with the second Saturday events that my MC previously ran, we'll be doing some of that type of stuff. But in addition, which is also cool, we'll be going to community events or campus events that kind of already have that demographic of a bunch of international students that we can go to and find what we would call people of peace, or just people that want to get to know us, or people that are familiar with the Christian faith and want to get to know more about it. Then after that, we'll have seekers meetings, which is essentially people seeking out answers to questions that they have about faith, about spirituality, about church, about all these different things, and be doing discovery Bible studies, different stuff like that, to where we can then transition. If you remember perspectives, you might also remember red lights, yellow lights, and green lights. So we have people that are red lights. They don't care about Christians. They don't want to get to know Americans. They are, you know, stopping us from getting to know them. We have yellow lights, which are people that want to get to know us, but they're unsure about spirituality. They're unsure about faith. They might have their own opinions about what Christians do and how they act, and so we are going to let them get to know us first before we can really kind of introduce them to spiritual ideas. And then we have green lights, which are people that are willing to get to know us and want to know more about Christianity or want to know more about the Bible, and so we will start introducing them to those ideas. So the idea behind International Student Ministry is to get to know people first by doing a bunch of fun things together, and then after that we will start letting them know about the Bible, letting them know about the Word. And so you'll find that we do a whole bunch of stuff, which is why I cheated and added a fourth category of fellowship, because that's also a big part of ISM, is that we'll just be doing things together, whether it's having people over to our house to share a meal, playing pickleball together, you know, letting them cook a meal for us, just basic things that are kind of like, let's just, you know, have friends and do friend stuff together. And so discipleship is at a one, just because we won't be discipling each other as much as we will be discipling international students. And then outreach is a big part of this, but Bible study naturally follows that. And then fellowship is also just a hidden category that we have within that. So Alan will now speak.
Thank you for that explanation, Devin. As an international student myself, I was extremely blessed by having a welcoming presence when I first came here. And so that is this church and everybody in this church. And having taken perspectives, I have been blessed, and now I want to be a blessing. And so if, a welcoming presence is very needed among international students. So if anything like this is interesting to you guys, yeah.
And then this is Keegan's input. He shared a excerpt from some of Hudson Taylor's writings. He said this was important for understanding why he wanted to contribute to international student ministry so much. It was he who, talking with Mr. Taylor, unexpectedly raised a question, the pain of which was not easily forgotten. "How long have you had the glad tidings in England?" he asked unsuspectingly. The young missionary was ashamed to tell him and vaguely replied that it was several hundreds of years. "What?" exclaimed Nee in astonishment. "Several hundreds of years? Is it possible that you have known about Jesus so long and only now have come to tell us?" "My father sought the truth for more than 20 years," he continued sadly, "and died without finding it. Oh, why did you not come sooner?" Thank you.
Okay, if you want a Bible, raise your hand.